Sunaktu saha viryam karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai om shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So page 9. Okay. Then Lord Krishna, the creator of the universe, resettled them in their homes and gratified them with valuable gifts. The members of these clans, protected by the arms of Lord Krishna and Lord Sankarsana, felt that all their desires were fulfilled. Thus they enjoyed perfect happiness while living at home with their families. Because of the presence of Krishna and Balaram, they no longer suffered from the fever of material existence. Every day these loving devotees could see Mukunda's ever-cheerful lotus face, which was decorated with beautiful, merciful, smiling glances. Even the most elderly inhabitants of the city appeared youthful, full of strength and vitality, for with their eyes they constantly drank the elixir of Lord Mukunda's lotus face. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains, "The bodies were made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Among them, generally they did not age because they were avatars of associates of the Lord. Or some of the andakas, etc., were old in years but youthful. They are eternally situated like this, asan. They had physical strength, bala, and alert senses, ojasa, or energy. They drank with their eyes the sweet beauty of his face. Their eyes were like cups for tasting the nectar, the highest bliss, which destroys all anartas. They did this constantly, being very close at all times, muhu. Or they were constantly useful with strength of body and senses." Right? So either, even though they're all there, being there a long time, they didn't as such age. Whatever was their standard age and that, they always like that. Or it can mean also that some may have looked older, but still their actions and everything were as if they were youthful. So it didn't matter, because they're all associates of the Lord. Therefore, whether they looked old or not, then they were all youthful. Verses 20 to 25. Krishna consoles Nanda Maharaj. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Then, O exalted Parikit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, though the Supreme Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, along with Lord Balaram, approached Nanda Maharaj. The two lords embraced him and then addressed him as follows." Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, "After the condition of the Yadus was settled as described above, Artha, Krishna thought we must send Nanda back to Braja this evening. But evening had already come. We should send him back tomorrow morning. But there was a delay of a few days because of performing necessary duties to respect the citizens and console the Yadus." Right, so you know, his point is, they should go back in the evening, but it's already evening. So, okay, so then in the morning, and then the next day morning, then it's, you know, it's like the typical manana principle, so that even that comes from the spiritual world, right? But here it's based on loving ecstasy, not on laziness, right? Okay. If I suddenly return to Gokula, Jarasandha will attack Mathura. The people here are not protected. In this way, Krishna worried as part of his acceptance of human pastimes and thus did not return to Braja." Right? Because he's just killed Kamsa. So that means then Kamsa's wives, his brother's wives are widows. And where are these girls from? Because they're all sisters. They're all Jarasandha's daughters. Right? So now Jarasandha will come and attack the kingdom. So then. "Then one day, Krishna and Balaram met Nanda in a private place. They embraced him with a manifestation of emotions befitting children, after performing proper actions such as offering respects suitable for sons. Sukadeva in three verses then speaks their words, which were befitting affectionate sons. Who is Krishna? You, Parikit, recognize him as Bhagavan, appearing as the son of Devaki, but he is actually independent, being endowed with all powers. And he who appeared by birth as the son of Devaki is Sankarsana. By derivation of his name, he is called Sankarsana, pulled from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb, the son of Vasudeva. The two boys then spoke to Nanda. Parikit, you should know that what they spoke to Nanda was their true feelings. It is not like their dealings with Vasudeva and Devaki, identifying themselves as their children, by which the two boys made them more affectionate. Those dealings were contrary to the truth. The truth is shown in Sukadev's previous statements. Nandastu tatmaja utpanne jata hlado maha manaha. When Krishna appeared as his son, Nanda Maharaj, fully devoted, was overwhelmed by jubilation. Right? So, he was by jubilation. For Vasudeva and Devaki, he spread maya. Understanding that his parents were becoming aware of his powers, the Supreme Lord thought that this should not be allowed to happen. Thus he expanded his yoga maya, which bewilders his devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:45.1. It is not mentioned that he spread maya for Nanda in the present situation. The bhava of Nanda and others in Braja is praised by Brahma, Sukadeva, and Uddhava as natural and most rare. Right? So here is that you have the aspect of, because Vasudeva and Devaki, seeing his prowess, killing Kamsa, killing the wrestlers, all the things, then they understood he's the Supreme Lord, and that affected their relationship with him as parents. Then they went into that mood of he's God, into that kind of like dasya kind of aspect. So then he expands his internal illusion so that they may then take up that mood properly, right? Because that's the mood that how they want to see Krishna, but at the same time it is the Supreme Lord who is their son. So if the Supreme Lord aspect becomes too prominent, then it inhibits the parental aspect. But Nanda Baba in that, he saw all the same things that Vasudeva and Devaki saw, but it doesn't affect his affection for Krishna. It stays the same. You understand? So that's what it means by then Krishna is having to take that on. It's contrary to the position because he reciprocates according to them. So because that parental rasa is what they wanted to have, but at the same time they know his Aishwarya. Therefore, then, if the Aishwarya becomes too prominent, they forget they lose that position of the parental. Right? So it's not as fixed. Though their devotion to the Lord is fixed and their being Krishna conscious is always fixed, but the aspect, that is the whole Mathura Dwarka pastimes, is that it'll vacillate between these two, sweetness and majesty. But Braja, seeing all this and more, right, means Kamsa was still staying his regular size, and he just picked him up and then jumped on him, and that was it. Right? You know, and the wrestlers, they're wrestling, they're all their regular size kind of thing. You know, I mean, of course, wrestlers are a bit big, but still, it fits within the context. But, you know, you have, Keshi or Aristasura come into the village. Now, they're not just your regular sized animal. They're monstrous, right? It mentions that the hump on their back, their tail, like this is in the clouds, right? So they're big. And he kills them, and it doesn't affect their mood. Then why would killing Kamsa affect their mood? Right? So therefore we see is that because Nanda Baba always has that, then Krishna can always have that flavor towards him. Does that make sense? So in this way, then Nanda Baba is actually his father. But Vasudeva and Devaki, because they want to be his parents, therefore then he reciprocates by acting as their son. So even when they go off the flavor into Aishwarya, he still covers it again so that they can act as parents. Right? So it's not that, oh, he's being tricky here. No, it's just that's because their mood moves, therefore he has to deal with it and bring it to and then make it favorable so they can act as parents. And then they take that mood of parents, he reciprocates as a son. Because he reciprocates as you surrender. Does that make sense? Yes.
So Maharaj, does it mean like in Vraja, what it means the covering of Yogamaya and wisdom?
Their affection is so great that they don't see Krishna in any other way. So that means it's constant. Does that make sense? While in Dwarka and Mathura, there the moods can move back and forth between awe and reverence and sweetness. Like that. So when he's in the one, though the other is their basic relationship, if it gets too much reverence, then he'll cover that. But he has to do that.
Okay.
You understand? But while with Nanda and the others of Vrindavan, he doesn't have to do that because they never get affected by Aishwarya. Right? The Aishwarya is there, but it doesn't matter to them. Does that make sense? So accordingly, then you interact. Okay. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam. Nanda gopa vrajau kasham. Yan mitram paramanandam purnam brahma sanatanam. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all the other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune because Krishna gave them prema, which is the highest bliss, eternal and complete. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.32. Neither Brahma nor Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Lord, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.20. O respectful Nanda, certainly you and Mother Yashoda are the most praiseworthy persons in the entire world, since you have developed such a loving attitude towards Narayana, the spiritual master of all living beings. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.45.30. Sukadeva addresses Parikit, O best of kings, you are fixed in a relationship with Kunti and thus with Vasudeva among all the kings, among the great kings. But being a lowly beggar, I have no taste for such things. Right? So here is just the specialness of this, because he doesn't change relationships. As we were saying before, is that the goddess of fortune says who's the better half of the Supreme Lord. But that's the point. She's the better half of the Supreme Lord. Does that make sense? Radharani is the better half of the son of Maharaj Nanda. You understand? There's a difference. So because she is the better half of the Supreme Lord, she can't adjust that mentality. Even though Krishna's sweetness in Braja is so much greater than in Vaikuntha, she can't adjust her mentality of thinking that this is my husband and he's the Supreme Lord. That's why Lakshmi cannot enter Vrindavan. Right? Yes.
It sounds like the love of the residents of Vrindavan is of its own nature. It's completely different from anything else.
Yes, because it's the original. So everything else that you find is all aspects of that, because they're all expansions of them. Right? In other words, the Vrajabhasis, the main personalities, they expand and they become the members of the Yadu dynasty. And then from them they expand, that's in Vaikuntha. And then that expands, that becomes the demigods. Right? So that's why when it says that the demigods came down to take part in the pastimes, you know, as the original, so the demigod aspect is there within the original person. So it's not that the associates then, they've come from the demigods, and the demigods, they come down because they're supposed to, they just merge into the original associates. Then those demigods who are not, they're the ones who went back to the heavenly planets. Or their position that is there, that went back, but the eternal associate didn't. Right? Does this make sense? Or we're getting ahead of ourselves.
So
it's a few more stories before we...
It's an extension of Swarup Shakti. In terms of...
Yes, yes. It's all because everything is Swarup Shakti. And so it's just various aspects of that. There's unlimited potencies. The potencies have major categories. And then those will have major categories. But it's unlimited that it goes and extends. And so all the different positions are still all the same. Just like you have Krishna and the yoga peet, all the different positions that are there, then as you bring it down, you see other personalities in that yoga peet. But the point is then you can understand that those persons that are there on that level, then where they go. Like Indra's in the east. right? So the potency of Indra, then that's the associate of Krishna that's in the east. You know, or of the energies of the Lord in Vaikuntha, who's in the east. That one then comes down and becomes Indra. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's always the same thing. So it's just expanding. As Krishna takes his mood, the same associates are there. Sometimes they're combined, sometimes they're this, that, and so you have the different, but the point is those energies are always there. He's always surrounded by those personalities. And there may be various aspects of them. You know, there may be masculine aspects of them, feminine aspects of them. You know what I'm saying? So if you put Krishna and Balaram and the Yogpeet around them, it'll be cowherd boys. But it's the same potencies that'll be there that are the gopis. But the gopis are the original. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because often devotees confuse, you know, that everything should be Jiva Shakti, and then...
No, but everything's not Jiva Shakti. Because if it was Jiva Shakti, then what would our bodies be made out of? Right? Because it's either going to be made out of internal potency or external potency. Does that make sense? Otherwise, if it's only Jivas here, then, you know, where did the earth, fire, water, air, and ether come from? So.
Oh, that's Brahman.
Yes. And then it acts. Because Brahman doesn't act, it's unchanging. So the changingness of this is that potency of Brahman. Because Brahman is Shakti. So it has the qualities, but they're generic. And then it becomes specific. Otherwise, see, the main problem would be is if you had just Jivas talking to each other, their voice would be so high, I don't think you could hear it. You know, so then, you know, it would be hard to communicate. That. Yes, and then Sukadev tells Parikshit, it says, you're coming in this line, so you're connected with them. Right? He's actually a family relationship with them. So, therefore, you understand this. You have that taste, but I'm not. I don't have the taste. Right? She says, but being a lowly beggar, right? You are fixed in relationship with Kunti and thus with Vasudeva among the great kings. But being a lowly beggar, I have no taste for such things. Right? So they just take that humble mood. Krishna and Balaram said, O Father, you and Mother Yashoda have affectionately maintained us, cared for us so much. Indeed, parents love their children more than their own lives. They are the real mother and father who care for as they would their own sons, children abandoned by relatives unable to maintain and protect them. Right? So the parents can't take care, but those who raise them, they're actually the parents. They are the real mother and father who care for us as they would their own sons, children abandoned by relatives unable to maintain and protect them. So they're the actual. So in this, you can say, is yes, Krishna is born of Devaki and Vasudeva, but actually, Nanda and Yashoda are the real parents because they took care of him when their parents couldn't. Right? So. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Nanda may say, oh, Balabhadra, actually you are the legitimate son of my friend Vasudeva. How can he, now free from danger, give up his own son, attaining him after many years? Therefore you must stay in your father's house. The two of us will somehow carry on living, blocking up our hearts, torn by separation for you, with the stone of discrimination. Right? Because then you just discriminate, use your intelligence, say, yes, no, he's the son of this, and so they discriminate like that, rather than just looking at it without that. But I could not tolerate to see the suffering of my friend Vasudeva. We were only your guardians. Lord Balaram replies, those who care for children as their own son are the actual mother and father of the child. The seminal father is not the real father, and she who bears the child in her womb is not the real mother. If father and mother abandon a child and the child dies, how can they be called the mother and father? Those who raise the child are more worthy of respect by the discerning child. Therefore, I will not be able to stay here. Even if Brahma himself comes and speaks to me, he will not be able to change my mind. Oh, Father, Krishna will go with you and happily play in Braj, but I will stay in Mathura, burning in the fire of separation. That cannot be. Therefore, I make this oath. If Krishna leaves me and goes off to Braja, then my life will be finished. This is the intention of Balaram's words in this verse, right? Because they're thinking Balaram will stay here and Krishna will go, but Balaram's saying, no, that can't happen. Right? So the point being is that they brought them up, they've taken care when their parents could have, so that therefore they're the real father and mother. Right? Is that okay? Srila Jiva Goswami comments in verse 21, verse 21 in Priti Sandarbha, Anucheda 91. We say that Priti, with particular identity and prema, arise only with the appearance of the nature of the Lord. Bhagavat Sandarbha shows that all the manifestations of the Lord, being Surup Siddha, are eternally in the Lord. Various types of worship are described in the scriptures. As one worships a particular manifestation of the Lord, Priti, with a particular identity, arises for that manifestation. The cause of worshipping that particular manifestation of the Lord is association with particular types of devotees who inspire a devotee for that form. Right? So who you associate with, then that's what gives you that form that you want to do. Therefore, then we're very careful to see that we associate with those who it's about Braja Bhakti. Otherwise, then we can get distracted. As Raghunath Das Goswami says, one should be very careful about getting distracted.
Maharaj, So then, based on this description, it seems that the worship you're doing, the affection that is generated from that worship is really coming because of your association with devotees.
Yes, because otherwise, how do you know the Lord?
It's not so much that Krishna will give you that affection.
Of course, Krishna will give you that affection, but because you're associated with devotees, that's why you get it. Mm. Means without associating with devotees, one can't get that affection, but it's only Krishna who can give the affection. So what does that mean? Krishna is pleased when you associate with his devotees in a favorable way. Then he'll give you the ability to associate with him. Like that. So it's all about devotees. It's not about... There is not something else. So this whole thing of reducing down the position of devotees, the guru, you know, senior Vaishnavas, and trying to make everything equal, that's not actually either a human or a devotional position. It's actually a totally atheistic, subhuman platform. So without that, nothing works. Now, we may have authority issues, and so therefore we accept only our own mind as authority and our own desires as authority and only what we understand as real. That's okay, but we have to understand that that doesn't have anything to do with the actual spiritual understanding. That comes by appreciating devotees. So you can do that. You can, by doing that, you'll stunt your growth. You might even affect the creeper, because if you offend the devotees, then it will do that. But one has to understand is that there is no other method. That's because for Krishna, what's important? The devotees. He's God, but that doesn't matter. It's the devotees that are important. So if the devotees aren't important to us, what do we have in common with Krishna? He's God. We're 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Try putting that on a scale and see how that works. Right? You know what I'm saying? Unlimited against 1/10,000th. There's nothing in common. But, so you can say in tattva, yes, okay, the different Satchinananda qualities, okay, great. You have that in common. But what about interaction? So unless commonality brings about interaction, interaction for Krishna is about the devotees. So for us, it's not about the devotees. We do not have anything in common with the Lord. So if it's just about him being God and all that, then maybe you'll get by in Vaikuntha. But even there, they put so much emphasis on the Vaishnava. You know, so the whole point is that's the principle. Without the Vaishnavas, it won't work. So all this thing trying to reduce everyone down, make everything equal, and all that, that's an atheistic principle. It's not devotional. It's not a useful principle. You can say, no, but it's going on in the material world. And how well is the material world going? Because if it was going so good, why did we come to Krishna consciousness? Maybe you can remind us, if you were bored one day and thought, hey, let's check that out. You know? You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Sometimes we're looking for Swajati association, but there's no reciprocation from those devotees that we want to associate with. But on the other side, others, they want to associate with us, but we're not interested. How can we balance that?
Spend more time reading. Plenty of Swajati devotees here.
But that's not a dynamic principle as such. Meaning in that...
Means you read what you read here. You pick up the how they deal and the way they interact and that here, and you apply that with the others that want to associate with you. So in other words, you're associating with who you'd like to associate through instruction.
Is that good enough?
Why not? It'll work. You know, material world means making the best of a bad bargain. It means it's all bad. It's just which is the least bad. You know, it's like going to, you know, how you say, some of the shops and picking out vegetables in the afternoon. You know, they're all bad. You just pick the ones that are least bad, right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Just a little doubt about the earlier question. So the position of devotees, that's clear. When it comes to giving affection, when the point about Krishna giving affection for himself to us, the doubt comes up that, well, does Krishna even possess affection for himself, or does that have to also come from the devotees? Like, is it?
No, it means he gives you that attraction because he is attraction. But the point is what attraction that's going to be and how that's going to be applied, that's from the devotee. Because even if you get something, like just like let's say you don't know how to drive and you get a car, so you still have to learn how to drive.
That's the devotee.
Yeah. Okay?
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even that question that Prabhu asked, sometimes those devotees...
This Prabhu here. That one, okay. Yeah, just make sure.
The devotees who don't want to associate with us, but they are very exalted or we seek inspiration in them. This has been a regular dilemma that in that Bhartruhari's case also, one whom you love, they don't love you, they love someone else. And the circle, you know, somehow goes in a round.
So that's a good story. That.
So should we not really try to win the hearts of those devotees?
Okay, well look at it like this. Okay. Let's take the example all the way through, okay? So you have those above who you would like to associate, but they're not inclined. Then you have those who you would see as even junior equals, whatever it is, they want to associate with you, but you're not so inclined. Why aren't you inclined?
Usually because I sense that there is some attitude issue or their qualities or activities are not very appropriate.
Okay. So then that's a generic aspect, okay? So then according to the individual, then you can apply what specifically is the attitude you don't like and specifically the qualities you feel are either bad or lacking. Then work on those qualities yourself, then these senior devotees will like to hang out with you. Does that make sense? So in other words, it's the same principle. They want to associate with you, but you feel that it's not quite right, the same way as the senior ones feel that you're not quite right. But what's the not quite right? The not quite right is going to be that which you can perceive.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Might take ages.
Yes, but is it worth it?
How will they know?
How will they know?
No,
look at it like this. Whether you get that association here or not, the way you would like, it doesn't matter. Because here, how many years are we talking about? Right? You know, 10, 20, 30, even 50 years, okay. But you get to the spiritual world, then that's eternally associating with them.
You can care about it there.
No, but I'm saying, it'll work out. So you work on it here until you qualify. At one point, you'll get to that point.
And the second part, how will they know?
How will they know? Everybody knows.
It's a lucky answer.
Huh?
Lucky answer.
It says, you know, that's the line, right? Yeah. Yeah, I won't quote the source, but okay. So the point is once they're there, they know who they are in the relationship here, right? Does that make sense? You know, when you get there and then you meet them, you don't know who they are because they're there first, and then they go, "Hey, remember we were the ones that lived downstairs from you and like that." You know, like that. Yeah. So it's revealed who's who. You know, like that. So, but that doesn't matter because who wants to worry about that? You know. But it's that you'll know. Is that what I say? Okay. Real friendship's eternal, so you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. But it's just not in this body. You know. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The cause of worshiping that particular manifestation of the Lord is association with particular types of devotees who inspire a person for that form. So we're associating with devotees that worship Krishna in the form of Radha and Krishna in Braj. Right, so by that association, then we take up that worship. Right, otherwise we wouldn't worship in that way. That's why it's important to associate with those who have that mood. Does that make sense? For getting things done in that, we move with so many people in the world. But it's about associating with such persons that is the important aspect. That's why we won't, let's say, necessarily hang out with those who are Vaikunthawalas. Like that. You know, for different things where there may be interaction in that, but that wouldn't be our particular place where we would be put our effort. Right? Because by associating with them, we'll develop faith in that direction.
No. At the side point, and I've been asked that quite a few times, being from the West, it's not that we associate with those from Vaikuntha lines, we don't associate with devotees at all. And then whatever we get is from Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada gives this, which is the highest, to the lowest, and we don't really have any other choice as such.
Wait, you want a choice lower than highest? You really want, means he's, Prabhupada's offering the Ferrari, and you're really upset that why the, you know, Fiat 500, you know, both models, the small and the big, are not available, and especially if the top comes down.
If it's not affordable, Ferrari?
But it's being offered. It is affordable to the soul. The gross and subtle nature may not be so affordable, but the soul, it's affordable. That's the whole point of it, is that the spiritual, that every living entity can actually relate to. Yeah. Because otherwise, they want variety, but the point is that they've had that variety for unlimited lifetimes. So, and where did it get them? They're still here, so... Why not take advantage of this? Because, see, these other ones, then they're not working on, Lord Chaitanya saves the most fallen first. Right? So, the others aren't mentioned about doing that. Right? Who are the main people in Ramanuja Madhvacharya's pastimes? Most all the main people are Brahmins. Then a few Kshatriyas, one or two from here and there to set the example. Like that. What was his name, the wrestler?
Dhanurdhara,
you know, then he's a Shudra. You know, so you have it, you know, in all these lines that you have these because it goes for everybody. But the point is it starts up there, right? In other words, these devotees from these lines are going to get married. You have to know all seven names of all seven generations of your family. Means you don't know. There's not even a discussion for marriage. You know, and that doesn't mean George, Sam, Harold, you know, like that. You know. Yeah. I did that. Once it was, you know, the parents had come, you know, in Vrindavan and all that. And so then you know, and so at that time, because it did, that I mentioned the names. And then I thought after that, I'm not doing that again. You know. So then now we just mentioned that, you know, disciple of this, disciple of that, you know. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then, you know, then Bhakshila Prabhupada, and then their guru, and then, you know, like that, then it works nicely. But when you say, you know, that such and such, you know, son of George, son of Sam, son of, you know, Arnold, you know, like that, it gets really weird, you know, especially in Vrindavan in front of the deities. It's like, yeah, so we don't do that anymore. But you're supposed to know all seven. So, like that, we wouldn't even qualify in these lines. So, you know what I'm saying? So, that's the thing, is that there isn't an alternative. Lord Chaitanya is the only one that's willing to come down there and, you know, come along and go, hey, you down there in the gutter here, interested in Krishna consciousness? And like that, you know. So, therefore, we should take advantage. And the amazing thing is, how is it the lowest are being offered the highest? Because generally we see all these high-class sages and sadhus, they're only being offered Vaikuntha. Right? And they're so qualified. So how could people who are totally unqualified then get a Braj? So we should take it. We shouldn't intellectualize too much, especially because we don't have the proper intelligence to intellectualize anyway. But among the Nitya Siddhas, that manifestation and the identity are also Nitya Siddha. Right? Because it's not that they developed, they always had that. That's inherently their nature. Mother Jashoda was always Mother Jashoda. It's not that she was, you know, just somebody kicking around in, you know, in New York or something and bumped into the devotees and then, you know, like that, and then no. She was always Mother Jashoda. Does that make sense? But everybody else, the conditioned souls, then they can pick up from there. So, yeah? No? Okay. It has been said the identity, a particular function of priti, arises along with the priti. Therefore, priti will not be damaged by that connection. Right? Because by that particular attraction you have, that will come up, the identity that goes along with that will come together. So it's not that you'll have a problem that you have one identity and then another attraction. Does that make sense? They come together. Rather, priti takes joy in that particular identity, which signifies intimate connection with the Lord. Right? So the attraction then takes shelter. Is comfortable with the particular identity you have in serving Krishna. Right? In other words, the attraction or that affection of, let's say, friendship has no problem with the identity of a cowherd boy that he is friend of Krishna. The two go together. The attraction to Krishna as a friend and their position as identifying as a friend go together. There's no difficulty. They're two different things, but they go together.
Yes. Trying to clarify that the priti comes first and then the form develops.
First comes the association of the devotees who have that priti and are worshipping that form.
Right.
Right? Then by that association, then those two come together.
So it develops basically simultaneously.
Yes. But it comes from association of devotees. That's why we can't underestimate the association of devotees. Like that. Does that make sense? Yes. Because that makes the difference actually between the Madhyama and the neophyte. The Madhyama appreciates devotees. The neophyte may or may not. Because you can't have neophyte pure devotees. Everything they do perfectly, they just don't know Shastra so much. They're just convinced and they do and they practice. And if you ask to explain it, they can give you a simple, you know, essential reason, but they can't get into technical detail and all that. So they may not be able to argue the point, but they know the essence. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But so in that way, they'll be called third-class pure devotees. you know, like Chandrasekhar or Tapan Misra, like this. Because they didn't know how to argue the Shastras, but they're, you know, fully committed to Krishna. So on that line, then they would be considered like that. Does that make sense? So that'll be there. But generally you see that the neophyte tends to just see themselves, and that's important, and everybody else connected to them, including Krishna, the Vaishnavas, everything. But the Madhyama then tends to see it according to Krishna and the Vaishnavas, and they're engaging their conditioning. They're comfortable in that. And the Uttama then is just they see Krishna and the Vaishnavas, and then they engage their nature. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Another difficulty in association, if we get what we desire, then it's very demanding on the personal level because it's very personal, and most everybody, they can't handle it.
But that's also then why it's hard to get.
Yeah.
You understand? Because it's like this. How much time can you spend with somebody who's very comfortable in interacting with you? And how much time can you spend with someone who they really want to, but it's really hard for them, and they're really, really trying hard and all that? You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what's happening. We always have to look at it the other way also. So as we become more comfortable and identify more and more with being a servant of Krishna, then the more easy it is to associate with Vaishnavas because you're comfortable. So basically, you look at it like this. If you're comfortable with yourself, then others will be comfortable with you. So if others aren't comfortable with you, generally means you're not comfortable with yourself. So it may be there's, and so if it's generic, then you have a larger area to work on. But if it may be specific, in some areas you're comfortable, some areas you're not. So the areas where you're not, that's where the work is need to be done. But the only way to do that work is to be engaged in devotional service. So those areas being engaged in devotional service, that's the only way they'll get purified. You can't work on them separately.
But then it becomes like a, you know, like a vicious circle. Because those who are comfortable with themselves are madhyamas. And with madhyamas, it's easy, relatively easy to associate. But for the neophytes, they need association to come to that level. But then,
it has to be understood is that it's devotional service. That's why it said that the vapu may not always be able to be appreciated, but the vani can be. You can always appreciate that. That's why the emphasis is on the vani. Now, if you get the vapu association, that's good. But if not, then the vani is enough. Because otherwise, it is, like you said, hard to always do. So the spiritual master comes, you spend a few days, and all that, you can put in that full effort, then they go, then you can relax. Yeah. And then they come back, right? But if you are dealing on that every day, it's hard. That's why we said before, Prabhupada told Bhavananda Prabhu that in keeping servants, says generally as a general rule, don't keep them more than 3 months, because that was Prabhupada's experience. That's all the longer they can last to put in that full effort and focus. After 3 months, they need a break because it is too intense. Right, but they can go on with the vani, and then having had that vapu association, then you can appreciate that, and with that, then apply it into your present situation. So it's not that vapu makes it perfect. It's actually vani makes it perfect. And then the vapu can encourage that, and as long as it does, but as soon as it doesn't, then it's not an advantage. Does that make sense? So like that, then one doesn't worry. If one has the advantage, then one associates. And when it doesn't, one doesn't worry about it. But it's only through devotional service. That's where it's not a vicious circle, because devotional service is not part of the circle. It's outside the circle. So if you engage in devotional service, then you're leaving the circle. It may take a while, so you think you're still in the circle, but it's you're at this end and that end's out, but you're still at this end, right? So
we heard before when we were reading about Vishnu, he recognized the love of the devotees.
Yes.
But he says, let that be, let it be. We even made a joke about that sentence. Is that because he's comfortable with his situation? So
means the point is you have your relationship, it doesn't mean you can't appreciate others' relationship. Right? Just like the mother, she has a relationship with the son. Can't she not appreciate the relationship that other boys have with their son as good friends?
Yeah.
But does that make her now feel that she wants to be a good friend? You know, the next day she shows up dressed like the other boys. You know, brought her video game, you know. You know, she's been practicing at night, you know. Well, they're all asleep and all that, and she's up at night, you know, like, practicing. And... No. Is that you can be comfortable in your relationship and appreciate others' relationships. Right? See, we have to understand we're coming from backgrounds where everybody is, what do you call it? Insecure. Like, I always found it a very interesting principle. I don't know if it's other places you have it, probably because they have traditions, so you don't end up with it. But at least it's an American phenomenon. Some friends get together. This is where I've noticed it. And they sit down to eat, or they go someplace and they order something, right? And then they all come up with what they're going to, oh, yeah, I'll get this, that. And then another guy orders something that's totally different. And then they all become insecure. Why are you ordering that? They won't present it that they're insecure. You know, it's like, you know, hey, what's this? You know, I thought you were part of the group. And then they want to know. And now if he can explain it, that it's better than what they're doing, no, now they're all going to order that. And if it's less than that, then they'll kind of shame him into ordering what they order. So in other words, if you do something different from everybody else, that makes them insecure. Right? I mean, most places have traditions, so you don't end up doing that because everybody just follows the tradition. So then everyone's secure in that. But since you don't have that, then it's just, it happens to be at the modes of nature. Now we all do the same thing, therefore we're friends. But as the modes change, someone gets married, someone has kids, someone this and that, someone's job changes, so then the whole thing falls apart. Right? Nanda, Baba, and Vasudeva are friends. One lives in Braj, one lives in Mathura. One's a Kshatriya, one's a Vaishya. They're still friends. There's not a problem. Right? But because there's the tradition, there's the culture. But if you don't have the culture, then it's speculative. It's simply what the modes hand you at the moment. So for Bhishma Dev, he's appreciating that full surrender and all that. So like that, you want to surrender. So that's the meaning for, let's say, Bhishma Dev and following the footsteps of the gopis, is that as they are 100% surrendered, he tries to take that mood of 100% surrender. Not that you see Bhishma Dev in the back room with the doors closed, putting on a nice sari and, you know, checking himself out in the mirror and stuff like that. Yeah, we're not talking about a De Niro scene here. Right? Okay? Okay? Yeah.
Mataji was also expressing this, that we come to ISKCON and it seems there's not much room for example, Ram Bhaktas or those in the mood of Vaikuntha or something, although I have seen in ISKCON there are some. I know one young boy.
It means they can come, but the point is this is what we do. So when they're in our temple, they would do what we're doing. When they're at home, you can do whatever you like. You know, it's just like when you're in the temple, you get up, you're there, you're doing all the things, chanting your japa and all that. When you're at home, it might be slightly different.
There's sometimes the idea that maybe they should change, you know, this is higher.
They don't have to change. It's just a matter of when they're with us, they do what we do. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's just the way it goes. You go to the Italian restaurant, you don't demand Mexican. You know, you don't bring your Mexican food there. You know? It's just uncool. You know what I'm saying? So it's just the whole thing is that when they come to the temple, they take part in our festivals. What's the problem? Because if you're actually a proper vet, then it's another form of Ram, then there's another form is that he's just Krishna. Like that. They're all incarnations of Vishnu, so what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? So like that. You know, unless they're having some fun. Remember once we were, can't remember how many of us there were, but there was a maximum two of us. Maybe there were a couple of more, but we were somehow or another in Ayodhya. No, I think there was a few more. Yeah, I think there was a few more. And then we went to Ayodhya, and then we were there, and then we took prasad with all the Ram Bhaktas there, you know, all the pujaris and all that, big, big guys like that. And then they all sat down, and before they started to eat, then they said, you know, they made a thing, it's okay, then they said, okay, let's have a competition here, you know. And they went, you know, so the main guy goes, you know, Jai Shri Krishna. So we all went, Jai Shri Krishna. The Rambakas didn't say anything, right? And that, you know, so we didn't make much noise. And then he said, Jai Shri Ram. And then they all made, you know, like that. And then he smiled and goes, you know, yeah. So sometimes they have fun like that, but it's not the point. But the point is that they come and they do the worship that we're doing. And then if that enhances their worship there, then that's nice. If they get attracted to Krishna, then that's fine. But it's not that, no, you have to do this. And it's like that. That's following on the Atmavan Manyate Jagat principle. That I'm doing it, therefore it's special. If I was the Ram Bhakta, then why are they doing all this Krishna stuff? Does that make sense? Like that. Like, if it didn't work with Lord Chaitanya and Murari Gupta, why would it work with us? You know, so, like, you know, it's already been done. It didn't work, so leave it. Right? You understand? But like Baladev Vidyabhushan, then he's worshipping in our line, and even though he's from the Madhwa line, his diksha is connected there and that, but he's functioning with us. So it's not a problem. Does that make sense? You have your connection where it is, then it's just a matter, do you maintain that or do you take up this? It doesn't matter. That's not a point. It's not a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Like Maharaj, recently I was reading book, I think Purnachand Maharaj, he mentions how like all the prominent leaders in the current generation of various Vaishnava sampradayas, like now in the line there was some point that the most prominent acharya in that line, they're instructing their disciples to read Prabhupada books because this is what helps you to progress in the path. It's like they're all...
Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the point that the Gaudiya Siddhanta can give all the conclusions for any of the others, because we have to remember is that all the four acharyas met Lord Chaitanya in Navadvipa and he gave them their philosophy. So that one is Vishishtadvaita, Vishuddhadvaita, Dvaitadvaita, and Dvaita. That is all given by Lord Chaitanya. So it's all part of the Chintabhedabheda Tattva. You know? So it's complete in itself. But at the same time as the Achintabhedabheda Tattva can explain things to a deeper degree. So by reading our books, they'll actually understand their philosophy better. Like that. But vice versa, not necessarily. It means there are examples the acharyas give. So we quote from various acharyas from various sampradayas. Like that, that's not a problem. Like Sridhar Swami's Vishnu Swami. But we, you know, see it in connection with our line. So they can see what we're saying in connection with theirs. It'll work even more easily. Because they can take everything we say and make it work for them. Okay. In material relationships, a strong sense of possessiveness produces affection for another object more than for the self. One sees attachment to a son and decrease of attachment to self. Therefore, the Lord says to Nanda, O Father, you and Mother, Yashoda, have affectionately maintained us and cared for us for so much, since parents love their children more than themselves. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:45-21. Right? So that's the whole point, is that that affection makes it that it's about the other person more than yourself. So that degree it's about the other person more than yourself, then the quality is higher. So then in the modern sense, they'll just take, oh, no, make it always about someone else. That's a higher principle, which it is. But the point is you can only actually make it satisfying to the soul when that other person is the Supreme Lord and the Vaishnavas. Right? Does that make sense? Then that actually fulfills it. So the material concept that it's about others is limited in how much result it can give you. But when it's seen from the original angle, from the angle of as given here by the acharyas, then that will have the complete effect, because it's about Krishna, because the actual other is Krishna. Does that make sense? Why is the other? Because he is Shaktiman. We're Shakti, and everything else we call other is all Shakti. So unless we see Shakti in relation to Shaktiman, it won't work. Just like seeing the devotees connected to Krishna, that works. right? That makes sense. Yeah, seeing the devotees not connected to Krishna, but still, affection for the devotees, because they are, it gets benefit. But you get more when you see their connection to Krishna. Possessiveness of the Lord is caused by the particular identity in the Atma. That particular identity is caused by the particular nature of the person. The identity appears first by the nature, and then possessiveness appears, right? So you'll understand the identity first, then only possessiveness will come, right? Because there first has to be that you identify with that aspect, then only. Just like we may identify, yes, we're devotees of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So that's there, but that sense of possessiveness, where that is the one's heart is totally absorbed there, that may take some time. But that's gained by seeing the association of those who have that. Right? We're reading about how Nanda and Jashoda have, how the cowherd boys have, how the acharyas, their comments. We read about that. And we see other devotees, how they apply that in their life to effect, good effect. Like this, we become inspired. Then slowly that possessiveness comes. Because possessiveness means then there's the desire to render service. Right? To act in that way. But otherwise, we see that with theirs, that's nice, that's how we think. Then that's the first step. But then the natural next step is possessiveness, where then one will want to apply that. Does that make sense? Because now, much of the time, we do service. It's connected to Krishna, but we're doing it because of the possessiveness of our conditioned nature. Right? I'm managing because I'm a manager. I identify as a manager. So I'm a manager and I have the possessiveness of a manager. Therefore, I'm doing that. But I'm doing it for Krishna. Right? But that doing it for Krishna is not coming from that, from possessiveness on that platform. It's coming from this platform. But because it's connected to Krishna, one gets the devotional effect. And then gradually it comes where then spiritual possessiveness comes about. Right? Then you see it becomes very natural. Does that make sense? Yes.
In other words, spiritual possessiveness means sky above.
Yes. Yeah, or that, yes, yes. Like that. And then it's just a matter of how much it's there until it gets to the point of prema. Like that. Because the sty means what's the relationship. You know, like you and a friend, that's sty ba. Thus, the root cause of priti is the nature of the jiva, right? The nature of jiva is the servant, so therefore that's going to be there, and then what's the inherent nature of that jiva? Then that's going to be the general cause. Not that you can't move up from there, but the general nature is you'll be satisfied in whatever position you're in. That we're attracted by this movement, then that's why, that's generally because this is either where the natural identity lies, or by this association, we can develop something from somewhere else. Does that make sense? No?
No. The second half of your statement.
If you're supposed to end up in Vaikuntha by coming to us, you'll get there quicker. Okay? Yeah. You know, it's just like, what do you call it? They were, I think it was at Chutananda and Yashodananda, they went throughout South India to all the temples, spoke to all the head pujaris and the temple managers, and got the temples open that we could actually take darshan. Because before that, just like Puri, none of the temples would allow us in, not in South, because, you know, we said the background, unless you're, you know. So then they were in, they would have been in Sri Rangam. And in Sri Rangam, because you go around and take darshan in all the different little temples, because there's the main temple, and there's so many other little temples. So in one of them, they were walking by the pukur. It's a small pukur. It's not that big, but it's got these straight sides. It's a built-up, you know, pukka wall straight up. And then there's some stairs to go down at one side to the pukur where, I think it's Ramachandra he had eaten something, and somehow or another, he either washed his hands there or something. The fish then got those remnants that were the Mahaprasad of Ramanujacharya, that was prasad from from Rangaji, and they immediately got four forearms and went back to Vaikuntha. So as the Pujari is telling this story, and you know he's walking, and Achyutananda and Yashodhana are just behind him, then he hears this splash, right? You know, so I think it's said anyone who bathes here, this, that, like that. They just immediately, they didn't go around and go in the set. They just jumped over the side into the water, like that. You know, so the Pujari was seriously impressed. Because it's never happened in the you know, since Ramanuja that anybody's ever done that. So that's the whole point, is it's quicker with us. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Vrindavan.